This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We sure do.
Sorry, I'm doing a David to you. I'll stop doing that now.
Yeah, that's right. We have Dave Behrens on the line, who is a Melbourne-based artist. And Dave does really incredible work, really colourful, quite graphic, and has sort of moved from doing two-dimensional work to three-dimensional work. So I'm really keen to talk to him about what his process has been.
In other words, he's like a little kid that's never grown up. He plays with toys.
Yes. We'll get his side of things in a minute. Hi, Dave. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, I know that you moved away from art for a little while after being dissuaded as a young man. And then in the past 10 to 15 years, you've come back to it. What's the pathway been in returning to the practice and forging a career in the arts?
Well, it started off when I first bought a property up in Brisbane back in the early 2000s. I was working for an airline and I was working shift work, so I had a bit of spare time during the week, which I wasn't normally had. So it was sort of a twofold process. I thought I would just have a bit of fun with some canvases and some paint and just fill some walls up in my new place and occupy a bit of my time. And it sort of branched from there. People came to my place and sort of, hey, where'd you get the art? And I said, hey, it was me. I painted this. And so I just went from painting for other people and then having my first sort of do-it-yourself art exhibition in Brisbane in 2007. So it's all sort of branched from there.
And Dave, your style, describe it to our listeners, is that it's acrylic, but you use tiny little bottles. And so therefore, you're painting downwards. You're not painting, you know, looking at the canvas. You're painting on top of a table. And it's all very fine little, you know, you're squirting it out of little plastic bottles. Describe it to our listeners.
Well, so I used to get this little acrylic paint, and it was very runny. And I used to just use it as a flow medium generally, and a lot of artists are sort of using that technique. I sort of, when I used all the paint up out of those bottles, I filled them up with just some acrylic paint out of just acrylic tubes, thinking that it would still have that same flow effect. But when I was sort of, you described squirting out before, this was more like a squeezing technique, and it was sort of, imagine, I guess, icing a cake with piping and piping icing, like saying happy birthday in this very fine lettering. That was sort of how the paint was coming out. And so I decided rather than have the paint flow, I would have the paint more and my lines and mark making more structured. And so it kind of stayed put. And so I sort of developed a sort of style from that by accident, really. But, you know, just having a play. Yeah. With materials.
And what happens with it being acrylic, Dave, when it dries, it's actually three-dimensional, isn't it? It actually stands
it
up.
It is. It's rather tactile. So it keeps its structural integrity. And that's from it having sort of a medium in the acrylic paint that is more structured rather than a flow medium.
Yep.
Flow medium tends to dry very flat, and so you don't have that textural quality to it. And so, again, I was like, ooh, I loved how that looked and how it felt to the touch once it was dry, and it was really something fascinating for both myself as an artist and for people looking at it.
They're really incredible works, actually. They're very, very dense. It's kind of like hypercolour, pop culture graphics, a bit like Keith Haring, mixed with tribal art and almost like hieroglyphics. I'm really curious... Yeah. When you start these works, and they're not even necessarily all on like the standard rectangular or square canvases, sometimes they're shaped like Lego men or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
What's the planning that's involved with this, or is it more intuitive?
It's the actual, when I am painting a Lego figure or a Bert and Ernie figure from Sesame Street or a peace sign, that's intentional. I want people to, I like... items and figures from popular culture for people to sort of, you know, remember and to think back, you know, to a time when they had nice memories of those things. But the physical pattern in the figure, be it a Lego man or a peace sign, is rather intuitive. And so it just depends. Like if I decide I'm going to do a colourful piece with multi-colours, then I will just... The colours that go next to each other are rather intentional, but the physical symbol or the line or the dot will just come from no planning whatsoever. It just comes, you know, from inside my head and just rather intuitively.
Yeah, and you actually use a lot of rainbow colours, don't you? Very, very, you know, like waving the flag per se for our community. You do it in lots of different shapes and forms, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not one for just doing the same thing. I think that I'd find that rather boring, and that's why I find different shapes and sizes and different things that I can paint gives it a different look, and it's still the rainbow flag and still the rainbow colours, but it could be on a triangle or it could be on an oval or it could be on anything.
Yeah.
So that's and it keeps it fresh and it keeps it interesting and. You know, I don't find the actual subject matter boring. I just find the shapes I'm painting on need to be different and need to be keep my interest up. And there's always plenty of stuff out there to paint on.
As Eve said for our listeners to have a bit of an idea. Like when you look at it, you definitely get a feeling that you're looking at something that could be Keith Haring might have been doing, but you're very much not doing those little figures that he does. But from a distance, it looks a little bit like Keith Haring, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, Keith Haring's a huge inspiration. I saw a lot of Keith Haring's work in the 80s when he used to appear in film clips for Madonna. She was really into Keith Haring.
That's
friends
right.
with him.
Yep.
And Grace Jones and a number of people were using his designs on backdrops and clothing and stuff. I mean, Madonna used his designs on clothing for a whole tour. So seeing that was like, oh, who is this? This is really interesting.
Yeah.
And you also look at, you know, I was in Egypt 20-something years ago and looking at hieroglyphics in the pyramids and in tombs, and just how different, you know, their own version of their own figures and things were really fascinating. So it was, you know, my art's just a lot of mixture of my experiences and what I've seen throughout my life.
But then all of a sudden you move away from, painting on a canvas. And what's this obsession with toys? You know, like, where's it going? You know, like, what are you doing? Are you a little kid that's never grown up? Or is it, you know, like, some? It's very much collector stuff, isn't it?
A bit of both. I was always fascinated with, you know, toys as a kid. I had a, you know, Steve Austin $6 million man doll.
Of course you did. And a Ken as well, I'm sure.
That G.I. Joe. But my fascination with toys and Lego especially, I grew up on Space Lego and the Spaceman Lego and all that. And it would have been about 2011-ish, whereby another artist that I followed in the US, he posted a photo of a figure called a Money, M-U-N-N-Y, by a company called Kid Robot, and he painted it in his own style. And I saw that and went, wow, this is pretty cool. And found this sort of subculture that has just been springing up in the US and a bit in Asia, particularly China, where artists were customizing and painting over, you know, these figures, or they were, you know, graphic designers, and they were actually designing, you know, the designs that were going onto these toys that were released as and manufactured as limited edition runs, so highly sought after by collectors. And it's sort of, I've been sort of painting on these and sticking them on social media and you know, slowly building an audience and starting to draw the attention of some of these companies.
Mm. And what I love about it, Dave, is that, you know, like you still use those little bottles to, you know, like drip the little squiggle or the line or whatever you're doing.
Mm.
But you've told me before that with the toy figures, is that you can only do a small little section because you've got to wait until the acrylic dries and it's you know, like it's three-dimensional. So therefore, one piece that might not be all that big takes quite a bit because you've got to wait for each section to dry before you can move on to the next section.
That's right. My own process, when I paint flat on a sort of canvas, I can sort of paint for a couple of hours and the ideas will flow, whereas I can paint for like 10 minutes on a toy because that's all the room that I have to fill up, and then I can't go any further because I've got to turn it on its side to paint the next flat surface, and then the paint runs, and then, you know, so I found that out pretty quickly when I was painting them. So it's a different process and I have to be a lot more patient with it, but you know, with the way that I paint, you know, I just will wait a week before it's dry because, you know, I've got other things to do like work and other bits. And so when I've got some time, I'll just, you know, turn it on its side and it's dry and it's ready for the next part.
Brilliant. And I remember you also told me that there was a story that you had an exhibition and these people arrived and the young girl was blind and they said, would you mind if we'd let her touch it? Tell the story.
Well, I was. It was my very first exhibition, and it was a successful exhibition. I had lots of people to the opening and sold a few pieces, which was awesome. And the show was open for a week up in the gallery in Brisbane, and so I was manning the gallery space, and a family came in and were wandering around, and you could hear the, you know, the usual, oh, that's really cool, and you know, hear the feedback. And I would always, I'm not someone that will just go in and say hi, you know, and try and do the hard sell. I just like let people be at one with the artwork. And a gentleman came up to me and said, look, my daughter's, you know, I'm seeing impaired, vision impaired, and would really love to touch the artwork because I can see they're very tactile. He said, I know it's a no-no in you know, museums. You can't touch artwork, but I just thought I'd ask. And I said, oh, absolutely. And just to see the look on this young girl's face when she was sort of touching the art was that she was seeing it. And it was really quite an emotional moment because it's like, you know, we take it for granted that we see things and it's amazing, and yet people that can't, they rely on touch. And so she was seeing, I don't know what she was seeing in her mind, but from the look on her face, it was wonderful. So, you know, if I know there are people... people love to touch things, and in art you kind of go, that's a no-no because, you know, fingerprints and
of course,
you know, oil and residue on fingers can leave, you know, long-lasting implications on artwork. But when my artworks are covered in a sort of a acrylic gloss and if some people want to touch it, as long as they haven't got dirty hands, I don't mind. In fact, I encourage people, if the artworks are quite secure on the walls and they're not going to sort of, you know, you're not going to, you know, bang it, you know, I sort of allow people to touch them because I think it's part of the experience.
Absolutely. Now let's get into these toys. You know, like I was giving you a hard time about it, but it's a real business, and it's, you're like, and you're getting a reputation around the world. You're involved in something in China. There was something in Hong Kong. I remember about 6 to 8 months ago, you were part of a collection in New York that was part of an exhibition.
Yep.
And, of course, you couldn't go to it because we were in lockdown. So it's a real cult following, isn't it? And they're a particular doll, aren't they? Most of them are a similar doll.
Yeah, I don't think avid art collectors or just art toy designer collectors would love you using the term doll.
Oh, okay. a toy, are they?
We don't mind the word toy.
Okay.
Because, look, you know, they are fun and you play with them, etc. But some of these ones can be quite limited and sell for thousands of dollars. So you don't sort of want to be playing, you know, giving it to your child to play in their collection with their Barbies, etc. But... look, dolls, toys, you know, they're all highly sought after, and some of these people that collect them are very passionate about what they collect and who they collect. I sort of been on quite heavily on social media because that's a really good platform to get anything out there. And you just join these groups where, you know, the different toy manufacturers also follow, and you just put your stuff out there. And I like collecting art toys myself, and I collect a lot of artists' original work and production work too. So, you know, I'm a bit of a collector and a designer at the same time, because I love them, and, you know, to have them, because they're wonderful and fun to look at, just like toys are.
Absolutely. And there's a competition that you've contributed to in Hong Kong. What's the toy that the image that it takes, and then each person paints it differently? What is it?
Yeah, so the figure is actually called a Super Giro, G-I-R-O, and it was a figure created by an artist in the Philippines. And this toy company, they're called Watts Box, and it's B-O-X-X if you're looking on socials. They actually contacted me about a couple of months ago to see if I would be interested in designing one for their collection. That they have they're launching a series of 20 of these little 4-inch Super Giros, and want artists to sort of give them, breathe new life into them with different designs. And so for me, they gave me a 2D file, a flat file to design on, and I'm used to painting on an actual physical figure. So thanks to a graphic design diploma I started at a local university last year, I now know how to do digital work. So I was able to use some of my digitize some of my actual work and put it on this new figure. And so it's actually going to be released as a figure, and they're having a competition for other artists to join in and to be part of that series, of which I'm now involved in.
Okay,
so a great opportunity.
So your design will be available. Is that what?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, yeah, congratulations.
So I've signed a contract, so very exciting that my work is going to be on a production toy, and first a collaboration they're having with an Aussie artist too, which is really cool.
So, fantastic.
Very, very exciting to be involved in a brand new launch of a brand new toy, which I'm sure is going to, you know, again, just from seeing the comments from people around the world in the different social groups, that, you know, it's something that they're excited to be adding to their collection. So, you know, very exciting.
Brilliant.
To be involved in that.
And you're like, follow Dave on social media to check out all the different designs he does. Or you can go to YouTube and see my interview my interview with him on the Art Hunter.
Good plug.
Good plug. And you're like, I didn't know Dave, and he approached me on social media, and now we're quite good friends, and it's mostly all through social media as well. But you'll get this in-depth story if you go to the Art Hunter on YouTube. Dave, thanks so much for talking with us today, and keep up the good work.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much. We've been talking to Dave Behrens here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.